So hi, welcome to Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Alex
and Freddie, and We're America Part 2.
And we're asking some questions to say about their upcoming self-titled album. So congrats on that. By the way, how do you guys personally feel about the response to the announcement so far?
Dude, we feel great. We've dropped a few singles. We've dropped Crest, Outside, Out of Touch, and Baby. Most singles we've probably ever dropped for a record, and there's 14 tracks on the album, so we have plenty to spare, plenty to give out to the world, and it's our favorite music we've ever made, so very stoked.
Yeah, I don't we definitely dropped a lot of singles for Price of the Nation too. I don't know, I would actually be interested to see like how many in comparison.
Yeah,
I think we might have done like 5 or 6, but yeah, no, I feel so great. I mean, you know, we made this record with the friends, you know?
Yeah.
This is like amazing. I think my favorite thing right now about it is the album artwork. Like knowing that that's put out into the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Gave the album another spin this morning. Now for people listening that don't know, I work with AP2 on the management side. So I've been listening to this album for a minute, but gave it another spin this morning. I'm just blown away by it. Every single time I listen to it, it's easily the best shit you guys have done. Hands down.
100%.
So stoked for the world to hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have you heard it yet, Glory, in full?
Yes. I heard it in full this morning. I was listening to it while I was making my little breakfast. It was very, very good. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Remarkable. It's awesome seeing how your music has progressed, because I feel like we've been working with you guys since we were
2020.
New. Yeah, 2020. So it's just being able to kind of interview you guys. I believe this is like the third interview we've done, and kind of just see how your music has built up to this is just incredible. You guys did very, very well with this.
Thank you so much. It feels that way for us too. That's why I think the self-titled makes so much sense. Like, as far aside from it being our second album and being part two, like, I feel like it really is our favorite like culmination of what the band means. It's almost like a good smorgasbord yet cohesive version of the band, I feel like.
Absolutely. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
Album title, like I mentioned, it's our second album, so we felt like we can't miss the opportunity to call it America Part 2, you know? So like on the surface level, there's definitely that like kind of obvious thematic thing for us. But it's our self-titled album, and that's like it's a big deal, I feel like, for an artist to call their album their self-titled. It's kind of like the defining sound, if you will, a lot of times. And it feels that way for us, you know, like Maddie joined the band like a year now, which is crazy. And we got off tour. We toured the full US and then some last year, just before Maddie joined and through his first tour with us. And then we wrote the album the next month. So like November of 2022. And then we went into the studio and recorded it December 2022. And so it was like just this really organic, fluid, like kind of obvious motions. Like we just kind of let the songs take us. And it just feels like what America Part 2 sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like also like you said something really funny. I don't remember exactly what you said, but you're just like, it's our second album. It's our self-titled album, America Part 2. Like, we don't give a frick. Like, we're like, you know, because like I feel a lot of people do define the sound of a band or like a band by their self-titled. And we're just like, yeah, this is it. Here you go. You know?
Yeah.
Like, these are just like our songs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the cover art?
Oh, yeah. So that was a whole thing, too.
It was a journey.
Yeah. So we had like a lot of people like help us and work on it. And originally our friend Dan S. Finn, he started like doing some like graphic design. And we had like we had the mountain, which is in the background. And we had gone more of like a digital route. We had like a shield and like an eyeball and like different things representing like us. Like we had like Gemini sign,
we had our own symbols, we were referencing things like Led Zeppelin or something, how they all had like their own symbols. And we were really intrigued by like the AI art coming out and like the 3D kind of like hyper realistic art. And so we were, like Freddie said, we were going to go that direction initially for this like super kind of like digital looking thing. but something just wasn't quite right with the final versions of it. And so we ended up like stripping back and having Super Bean Wizard, aka Victoria, aka Bean, aka our TM photographer extraordinaire, take a smack at it. And she like superimposed these live shots of us on top of it. And it just, I feel like that really kind of cemented the artwork.
Yeah, like Bean came over from Tennessee and we were just like working on the artwork together, because she can basically like, she's like great if you give her like direction and stuff with that, because she's never created album artwork before. And like I gave her a couple live photos, like probably like, I don't even remember, like 4 to 6 maybe, and then she cut out like us and just put them on white backgrounds and was like, which ones are your favorite, and like had like spacing, and I was like, it should be like rounded, right? And then I think the mountain came too. We're like, oh, okay, it's gonna be the mountain in the background, like we should definitely get that from Dan Finn, because he was like more than gracious to like help us in any way, and just like was like, yeah dude, I'll send you guys the assets and you guys could do whatever you want with it. So just like, and then I remember just going back and forth in the group chat for like, because me and Bean had done like a lot of work on it, like for like a day or two, like I don't know, like for like 2 nights we were like worked on it, and it was like really slow, but then we got it like for where it was at and it looked great. And we're like, yo, this really is like, because we had some references. We were like, what if we went the live route? Because we were dropping like live photos, and the baby artwork was Maddie live with the crowd in front of him, and this is the back of him, you know? So we were like, and Out of Touch was like a photo of us in Late Wave. So we were like, yo, this is actually so classic. Like, let's keep going. And yeah, so it looked like a Creedence Clearwater Revival album meets like, I don't know, something. And I think the font, right? It was Nick, our friend Nick Gorietti.
Real team effort.
Yeah, which he made like a year or two ago for like some shirts that we did, and just like gave us the font. And we were just like, yeah, that's it. And I think me and Bean found the color, and I thought it was more of like an orangey red, and it's like, it's technically like an off pink, like it's like a blood orange pink or something. Yeah. But yeah, like the color and the font. But
all right,
Maddie, how do you feel about that?
About the album artwork?
Yeah,
we had to do some revisions when you and Bean sent it to the group chat.
I know that's why he's been smirking over there the whole time.
Because he brought up the group chat for a second and then didn't go into it. He like, they sent the album artwork over and I was just like, yo, what is this? I just kept being like, but what if we did this? And then Freddie was like, yo, every time you send a revision, it takes me like a half an hour to get it done. And I'm like, but I want it to be good, Fred. Like, we got to do what we got to do.
Of course. But it was like on like the 10th or so revision where like you were giving me stuff that you could have gave me like in the beginning, you know what I mean? And I was like, dude, like just give me the like, but I knew where you were coming at, like we had to go through it. But yeah, it was actually like, it was a lot, it was hard to do the album artwork.
Think of the 10th revision on the first revision though. Took the 10 revisions to get there.
It's nice having Maddie in the band, because Freddie and I have been playing together since we were like 12. So like we're like so on the same page with like visual and sonic stuff, and Maddie is coming from a totally different angle with his own totally equal crazy life experience in bands. So like it's nice having that kind of yin yang for whatever's coming out, and that's the other reason why this record I feel like is so complete, because like it does have both sides of that, you know?
Yeah, we definitely need to be wrangled in sometimes, like especially me. I think the funniest thing about the artwork, and I just think it's just like funny, is that like you remember when like things were like blending into the background and stuff, it was like part ghosts, part like, and it's like we were like, yeah, that's cool, but you were like, dude, that doesn't like make sense. So we're like, okay, and we made solid, like we just cleaned it up, you
it's
know, like
now.
It was just clean. Yeah. We cleaned it up. Maddie helped us clean it up, you know?
And why does Freddie have his legs and then Alex is floating in the mountain?
yeah, that's true.
So can you guys tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
Well, like I said, we had just come off tour, and we were just we were doing the live thing for a hard minute, and it was time to make a record. We knew we had some things cooking, and we really just wanted to roll off the momentum of like how much we had like gelled as a band after all that touring. And we basically just got into Freddie's garage and just jammed out like all the ideas we had. Like there were some songs like Crest that Freddie brought to the table, and it was initially like halftime and pretty like doomy and like slower. And then I think Maddie was like, we got to play it really fast. And then like, we played it really fast and it was like amazing. Like things like that. I think a lot of times like we'll bring really great like impetus to the table, like this little seed. And then like the other two of us will just like run with it and it becomes the band's song, you know? Mm-hmm.
And Maddie, yeah, this was your first time, you know, working with the band, writing with the band. What was there any sort of adjustment for you guys as a whole, like bringing Maddie into the fold, or was it pretty seamless? Because I know you had been touring together before you started writing.
I think it felt like pretty natural. I mean, we actually, like Freddie brought a song, Freddie brought this mountain to the table before we even did the Harbor tour. And like, we opened the tour with this mountain, and like, he had the song basically written, but we like, you know, worked it out and stuff. And like that came together in like 30 minutes, you know, like, mm-hmm. And like writing the album, it just felt like, I don't know, like I've known Alex and Freddie for like a long time, and like they're both great players, and like I'd like to think that I'm a pretty good player too, so like getting in the room with them, like it's just easy, you know, like we just play and like feel and, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, honestly, it felt very seamless with Maddie, because Maddie is like just like such a, like not just an unbelievable drummer, but like he has such like such a background, like I guess like marching and just like theory and classical and different things, right? Like, and Maddie is like a through on through drummer that like we brought songs to that month, like that month that we just wrote songs. We brought like Alex said, it was just like demos and stuff from like the past year or two. We were just bringing stuff to the table, and we had like 20 songs we were working on. Then we got it down to 16, and then down in the studio we got them down to like 14, which was like a lot of songs, you know. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt really great, because Maddie could just like he took charge on drums to like write a lot of shit, and not even like really like we didn't have to really say anything. It just all like happened like naturally musically, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Makes sense. I like to like arrange songs. Like I've worked with Brett Romnes a lot, and like I've like interned for him at Barbershop, and so I've watched him produce a lot of records at this point. So like a big thing that he does, I feel like, is like a band will bring a song to him, and they'll have like a really like basic simple song structure, which can be kind of boring sometimes, and then you like you take these like beautiful like hooky parts and you just rearrange where they go or like how long they last for, and it like makes the song like a completely different song and like gives it a new life. I feel like I try to do that
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fucking awesome. Go yeah. Team, fuck yeah. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is each of your own personal favorite?
I don't know, like there was like definitely some things last minute where like Freddie and I would get together and be like, this lyric should go here, or this lyric should say that, like in the studio, but they were all pretty much ready, I think, for the studio when we got there.
It might have been like one of the ones like that, like maybe I like had in a demo like a long time ago, like This Mountain, maybe. Just like I will actually, yeah. I mean, once we jammed This Mountain, it was done. Yeah. But like I had the riff for a long time. I didn't know where it was going.
You know,
like,
what?
I didn't know if it was like...
I think the one that actually took the longest right now to think about it was Happy Fuck.
Okay.
That one was just like kind of a weird arrangement, because we each have like a verse on that song, mm-hmm. and like each one of us are like playing a character, so to speak. It's like, cause it's like supposed to be some kind of like concept of like the feelings you go through in a day, like trying to like stay above fucking water mentally, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, we're each like representing like different, like mindsets throughout the day, I suppose, or like feelings that you have throughout the day. And mm-hmm. so like, I think just getting those, the vocal parts right for that probably was taking the longest. Like I remember writing it and rewriting it in the studio a couple times, and like right before we did vocals being like, okay, wait, no, you're gonna say this, you're gonna say that, and then we're all gonna come together here. Maybe that one, even though it's like this one of the simplest songs structurally.
Yeah, I was also gonna note that just reminded me of Set Fire.
I was gonna throw that one.
Oh yeah,
we were working
yeah.
on that for a while.
That was definitely a wire.
Rob and Mike, it was actually I think originally Rob's idea, like when we, because we didn't have like a bridge part, and then he was like, see, you know,
like, been a whole nother,
like, we had the whole song up to that point. He's like, see, you know, and then we just really? And we created that whole bridge, which is probably one of my favorite.
And that bridge, just that bridge. So in Set Fire, that's going to come out with the album on Friday. It's like, and it's going to be, I think, kind of like the single that we push with the record. So people are going to be hearing it if they check us out. But like that bridge is kind of like this build. It like breaks the whole song down to like just the bass, and then the drums, and then the vocal, and then the guitar, and then it brings you to the last chorus. And that bridge, that like 1 minute or 30 seconds or 45 seconds, whatever it is, probably we were working on that for like 2 to 4 hours, I would say.
Yeah, Rob and I got into a fight.
not even like, obviously Rob had his part, but then we took the song and then we cut it down after the rest of the album was done. Like right before we submitted everything.
Yep.
That's true.
Yeah, I was going to get to that too.
Were you there for that, Shane?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, because then Matt, our manager, had like some ideas of like how we could even like chop it down here or there or something. Because he will come out with these like last minute ideas where like we have a song finished. And he's like, if you just tweak this one thing, the whole song just like opens up. And he's been right. Like, I Don't Wanna, he did that for Split, he did that for, and now Set Fire for this, like whatever he did with that.
I wouldn't even say it was a last minute thing, because I remember right when we recorded that, I think he had either heard us play it live or like in the practice spot, or maybe it was an early like bounce. Mm-hmm. But Matt had told me early on, like before we even got to mixing, that like he really, really loved that song, and that like I think Matt has really choice opinions about stuff. Like he's just like, Matt's just like through and through, just like doing like do your thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But then like he came to, like I remember like him coming to me early about that, and I was like, okay, like that seemed like really important to him. Yeah. And it's true, like I think like everything that we did was like so worth it. That was like so
really
that was really fun doing that too, like going in one last time.
Yeah,
just going through the track. That was
that was extra. That was after the record was done. That was just like, let's go back and do these last little changes to this one song. Really believe in this song. Let's just make sure we all feel like it's the best it can be. And so I guess, yeah, that was probably the longest.
And for everybody out there that wants to know how down to the wire it was, the whole album was mastered. And then we went back to the mastering engineer and said, hey, we made a change to the song. You already knew that this was happening, but now you got to master this version of the song.
Yeah, shout out John Nata. John at Nata Studios, absolute legend. Artistic vision on the record with the mastering, that was great.
Yeah, and shout out to Rob Sharapa and Mike Sharapa for literally Rob for recording and producing and mixing, and for Mike for engineering.
With a broken arm.
With a broken arm.
What a warrior.
Crazy.
Snapped it.
Favorites off the record.
Maddie?
Crest is my favorite.
Sick. Yeah. Oh, I think, dude, it's so hard.
I'm gonna say Set Fire. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked on like all of them. Like, just so hard, just so people know. But I gotta do three mentions, right? Ageless Timeless. Yeah. Was a song that me and Alex wrote. It was very unique. This is like before we even like writing stuff for the record. We were just like in my garage one day, and I was on drums and he was on guitar, and we just like did it, like damn. But like I, like the drum beat was like like the same. I think it was on like the ride. Like I was like ding, 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 something like that. I was following like a beat, right? But yeah, we made it into a march. That I just love that song so much. We were thinking about. I really wanted that to be the intro to the record for a long time, and yeah. But I love where it's at, and like it gives it so much. It makes so much sense for like the record, and but also I just my two favorites are This Mountain, I think, and Room Again. Like every time I hear Room Again, I just get really like emotional and just really great. But yeah, This Mountain too. That one's going to be epic. I'm so excited for people to hear that one because that one's like tucked away. It's a little bit further back at the end of the record and it hasn't been a single yet. So, but we played it live a couple of times. If you were like one of like one of 25 people in the Midwest, you might have heard it.
and not to mention the mountain, like this mountain is in the artwork. So like, yeah, boom.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So how did the track list for the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, close be a closer? Did you shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
No, we shuffled a lot. Like Freddie, like Freddie said, this Ageless Timeless was potentially going to be the opener for a while. There was a bunch of different versions, actually. We had probably like five different track listings.
Yeah, but I think going into it, like, because we kind of came down to a point where we had to choose like a solid track listing, and we had like a couple ideas, and I think we'd all listened to a couple track listings. We got to like kind of one that was like based on like me and Alex's side, I guess. And then Maddie came up with the track listing. And then by the time we got back on the road and we needed like a solid one, we had listened to Maddie's and
All together
in the van. Bean was there. And that was just like, it was very interesting because I didn't like fully understand it at first. And then like, I wanted to like let it settle in. So then like that night I like took some notes, but we were going to listen to my track listing after, or like our track listing that like we had kind of originally had thought. And I had kind of been like, I don't want to listen to it tonight. Can we wait till tomorrow? Because like, I felt like pretty like emotional about the situation. I think we all kind of were very emotional about the situation. You know, cause we all just wanted like the best thing, you know? And I wanted to really, really, really see where Maddie was coming from on this side. And I think the big thing that threw me off was there was the intro track to I Got You. And that had thrown some things through my mind because I thought I Got You was going to be at the later part of the record. Just to kind of get to the bottom of it, the next day we listened to my track listing and we like pretty much vibed to it until like halfway. Like it had a strong beginning with Ageless Timeless going into either, I forget what it was it either Crest or something, or Out of Touch. Yeah. But then I was like, yo, I took some notes on Maddie's and I was like, what if we just cut the intro off and just open with I Got You? And we were all kind of like, oh. And then we listened to it and we were like, yeah, dude, like we were like, I Got You needed like such like a big purpose on like the record. And we didn't really like know what it was. But to me, it made sense because we had done an intro on the first record and this it's our second record and it just starts. It just goes right into it, you know? So and then we like kind of moved some things around through Ageless Timeless in the middle and we threw the intro on the end of the record. So that's for your second listening experience. Enjoy that.
I was so pissed when we cut the intro from like the beginning of the record. Because like Freddie was like, we did that on our last record. And I was like, I wasn't there for that. I don't care what you did on the last record.
Yeah.
This is fucking cool. And he was like, nah. And we like cut it. And then like after the fact, we like listened through the whole record. And then he was like, what if we put the intro track last? And I was just like, oh! It all worked out in the end. And I'm very hyped for the track listing.
It creates a perfect loop, and I love when albums are a perfect loop.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So stoked on that.
So would you guys be able to tell us where Headspace is at while you're creating this record?
Dude, we went through a lot as a band the past couple of years, I feel like. Like, this is our second record, right? So like the first album came out and it's been a lifetime since then. Like it, that came out in 2021. We had a member change. We went from being signed to a label to going independent. We did a ton of touring. It was probably the craziest time we've ever had in this band. It was super like up and down and up and down. And yet at the same time, we were growing a lot. So there was like, it was very, very tumultuous, very emotional. I feel like I've grown like 10 years in the past 2 years, as a person. And, as far as like the songs go, they're pretty personal, I think. Like they're pretty personal songs. I think in this band, we tend to touch upon like kind of broader topics or broader feelings, but like the depth of the emotions that are in this, in these songs are really, really fucking deep. And like, I specifically remember moments where I was like figuring out like a song would come to me, or I was working on a song and like feeling that deep depth of emotion that I felt the first time I like played an original sound on a guitar when I was like a kid, you know what I mean? Like kind of reaching back to that place and putting it into the context here is kind of what happened for me. And I think it came out on the record for sure.
So are you feeling any anxiety putting out this record since it's some of your most vulnerable work?
No. No, I think that's a really good question, because I feel like normally I would, but in this context and with everything we went through as a band, it feels like the only way to do it. Like it's almost like at this point, I'm like, why even put it out if it doesn't feel that way now that I've kind of broken through. Yeah. And I feel like we probably all have broken through a lot of different layers of ourselves to get to the point where we're about to drop the record finally now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel anxious about it at all. I feel like it's my reason for living. So it feels good.
Damn right. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Amen.
Anybody else got anything to add?
You remember when I would like show up to the writing sessions with like Casamigos shooters and Coronas and just be like, oh, right, get started.
Yeah. That was Maddie's headspace.
Nice.
Thank you for those.
Yeah, it was a crazy headspace, honestly, because like especially just like this past summer, like I like moved out of that spot. The garage is like no longer our spot. So this record was the last thing that we did in that garage. And that garage has been active in our band since probably 2018. You know, it's my grandparents' garage. So yeah, we've done so many music videos in there. We've done everything in there. And we would do a lot of practicing in there. And then like before the tour, we would hopefully get into the studio like once or twice and like spread it out, because the garage is only going to sound as good as the garage, but it's just a space. And it was like our space. So, and I've been like moving around and like, now I'm like in my spot, and it's been a whole like summer plus into fall, like rolling this out, like Shane knows. And doing the touring that we did, I mean, we did our third Harbor tour, you know, and like, plus doing the tour with Late Waves. It's just been, yeah, it's been like mind blowing, honestly. And it all goes by so fast. So I think all of us have been talking about just like practices to keep us in like the present moment, to like stay healthy and like really like be on top of our game. Like when we're like touring, and it's like, we're at home and we're all working, and we're all working a lot. So we're all just trying to like I love how Alex put the anxiety thing, because I think like if you don't like really try and wrap your head around it, it could get to you, because I think like a little bit I had a little bit of like anxiety like a couple weeks ago, but then I like really like sat like with the record, and I was just like so excited for it to come out, and now it's like a couple days out, you know. So it's like, yeah, I'm so excited. It's like unreal.
And you guys have been through so much as a band in the past couple of years, but it's like that was almost necessary to make you guys like as excited as you are for this record, because I feel like this is the most excited the band has been to put out music in my entire two and a half years on your team. And I'm just fucking stoked that you guys are stoked that the album is coming out. And as I said earlier in the interview, I'm stoked for the world to hear it because it's fucking incredible.
Oh yeah. Thanks, dude.
Thanks.
Yeah, it means a lot.
Oh yeah. So how do you guys recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you in the car with friends and dark with headphones on? Is the workout album, party album? What do you guys personally recommend?
Yo, this is the album that you literally have like that 70s show, like basement sesh with your friends and sit in a circle and smoke a joint and listen to the record on vinyl.
Mm.
We don't have vinyl yet, but
we will.
Eventually.
We will. Yeah, honestly, to add to that a little bit, I think like listening to it yourself in your car, like it's definitely like a New Jersey driving record. Like I listened to it from one job or like a job to like in the clouds out in Englishtown. And I listened to it in that time span. I was like, I couldn't believe, like, I don't know, the drive went by really fast. I think, I don't know how long the record is, like 35.
I think it's like 37. It's
37.
Something like that. So went by like really fast. I was like, wow, this is such like a New Jersey fucking record. I love it. Like, and it was on like a half rainy day. It was like raining, but it was sunny out. It was weird.
I'm going to add to that and say that I listened to it at the gym and it's a really good gym record too. It holds up.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I was going to add, listen to it in the car with yourself or a friend. Like, I feel like it's that classic, like kind of like what Maddie said, like the old school vinyl thing. Like you listen to a record either with yourself or with your closest friend that you could like sit and listen to records with and not like talk the whole time when you're like switching over records and you're like in the moment. Like me and Alex would do that shit. Me, Alex and Tom would do that.
That's
shit.
Our greatest Jay. Pastime when like, yeah. When we had nothing going on in life, we would just like sit in our whoever's car and just blast records in full, you know,
or basements. Alex's basement a lot, listening to like his CDs on his speakers and like his mom's little like record player that had like the speakers inside. But it plays like a 90s record a little bit, I think. Like we've all been saying this, like we feel like it's like, yeah,
it's got flow.
Yeah, it's got flow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Got the flow. This one should be super, super quick. Off top of your heads, I want you guys to describe this album for new listeners in three words. Three words each, nine total, no more, no less.
I'll start. Okay. America Part 2.
No!
No, pick that shit back up. That does not count.
All right. That's fair. That's it's already crazy. Built in.
That was fantastic.
All right. Fine. I'm going to say... Headbang.
Okay.
Lay down. Get up.
All right. That's good.
We're hyphening those two.
Those are, yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Maddie?
I was thinking like classic, deep, and hopeful.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I feel like the first couple things that come to my mind is power, melancholy, like raw. You can hyphen raw power. Okay, that's what I'm
referring.
Okay, it's power. It's musical power.
Ooh.
Not like power.
Yeah.
But that should be explained. Yeah. I mean, I guess last thing that comes to mind is trio.
Hell yeah, love it.
So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
I feel like the record's very exciting and, you know, like we're a rock and roll band. So we wanted this record to have a lot of high energy songs. So
good fun.
Yeah, it's good fun. You can jump around to it, dance to it.
You know those memes that have been going around, like where it's like, a pool, like a shark playing pool,
I love that guy.
I'd be like, dudes see shit like this and just go, fuck yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that's like the record. Like dudes will listen to this record and just go, fuck yeah.
I feel like the first half is that. Like the first half is a lot of like, high energy songs, and it's got like a good flow. Like once it gets to like Set Fire, it starts to like, because it starts out like pretty fast, I would say, and pretty, just pretty exciting. And then, you know, by like the mid to the end of the record, you know, it kind of gets to more of like, I feel like those songs get like darker, but maybe deeper. Deeper.
Yeah, I feel like the way it's built is definitely like, okay, first half of the record, it like I feel like a lot of people could get into, and the second half of the record like is almost like built for people who love this music. You know what I mean? Like if you like this, the rest is for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like heavier like emotionally at the end. Like you get to like this mountain, and like that riff came out of me on like an acoustic guitar, and I was like this is a blues riff from the gods. Like, you know, I was just like I was just fucking around. Yeah. You know, and yeah, and then you get to like Room Again and stuff like that, and Room Again is like probably like one of the most emotional songs to me. So
yeah, and then like, Baby,
yeah,
it definitely like gets really 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 deep, and then
heavy deep.
So I don't know. I think it ranges a lot of different emotions. It's kind of like, I like to see it as like a book, you know, like it's like you figure out what's going on. You have your characters that you love, you fall in love with, and then like maybe tragedy strikes towards the end. It all kind of comes together. You know what I mean? So like, if you want to be along for the ride, the whole album is there for you. But also like, if you want to pick and choose certain songs, that's there for you too, you know?
Hell yeah. So if you're using the book analogy, Club Rock would be like the epilogue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, dude. They're like,
exactly.
I look at it as like dancing in heaven.
Yeah, because if you listen to the record in full, you hear the track Space, which is a final crackle crescendo. So that's kind of like in our minds was to signify like, okay, this kind of is the end of the record. Like if you were listening to this on vinyl, this is kind of what would happen. Like your needle would kind of stay there. Unless you have one of those that picks it up automatically. But, and so like, they're almost like built in bonus tracks that like, we really just couldn't take off the record. So we're like, yeah.
Sounds good. So are you guys able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this record, positive or negative?
Maddie, I know you got in that tizzy with Rob, but that was fine.
Yeah, dude, that was fucked up. We were working on Set Fire for like way too long, and it took way too long to just figure out like this one drum fill, like the timing of it, and like getting back into the chorus and like the timing of all of that. And Set Fire is just like kind of a longer song, and like it's like almost 5 minutes long. I think it's like 4 minutes and change.
It's like 3 minutes.
Okay, it's like 4 minutes.
And like, it feels like a longer song. We cut it down.
But at the time, it was like pretty long, and we had just been like tracking for a long time, and it felt like I had gotten like the majority of the song like through the bridge, and I was just working on like trying to get the last chorus. And Rob was like, all right, take it from the top. And I was like, no, don't take it from the top. Just give me the last chorus. And he was like, no, just take it from the top. I want you to get some context. And I was like, I don't need fucking context, Rob. I've been playing this song for fucking 5 hours. Just give me the last chorus. And he was like, just start from the top. And I was like, motherfucker!
Yeah, everything's good.
Yeah, he's the fucking best.
That's so funny.
Absolutely the best.
Yeah, that was cool. Just hanging out at Dim Studios was awesome. I mean, Dim Studios is attached to the Dim Entertainment office. So, like, we were able to just, like, live there for however long we were tracking. We had a little mattress or cot or something on the floor. And we had, like, a bunch of snacks, a bunch of booze, a bunch of smokes. We were just having a good time.
Xbox 360.
And a grill. Essentials.
Yeah,
and a fucking grill.
Don't forget about the Dim Stew grill.
A lot of burgers were chowed upon.
Yo, I was working that whole time. I was like opening up at Rook. I was like, because I needed to work. I work in like the mornings and the afternoons, and all of our things we had going on was like afternoon to night. So I was like, okay, like maybe I could like, I offered like, I was like, hey, I could do like some 7 to 12s, like maybe like an open here or there, which is 5:45. And yeah, I got put on like three or four opens like during that time. I was like, oh my God. So there was moments like I we put all of those, it was 12 days, right? Total.
So, yeah.
Yeah, 6 days. And then we took like a full week off, right? A week. Mm-hmm. And then we went back 6 days and we were just going. We were going from like 11 or noon, mainly like noon, all the way to like,
God, that was so late.
Yeah, we would go late. Rob would be up. I remember like I passed out like during a, like they just didn't need me. I was out and they're doing like club rock or something, you know, samples for club rock. And yeah, I remember waking up and everyone's asleep. And it was like 3 or 4 in the morning and Rob was like in the corner, like not in the booth, like he was in the corner with all the instruments.
I will say making club rock was definitely a notable experience for me because the basis of that song came from a Logic session that I made by myself at home, which was crazy. Like I'm not a recording dude. I just like will make home demos and stuff like that. And like this tune, we basically just imported the guitar tracks that I had from that, and it had like this kind of like oof 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 thing to it.
Cool.
So we added you know, like some sub bass, some kick drum, and Maddie had made organic samples of the drum kit as well. So we would just be like, okay, hit the snare once, bop. All right, we take that, save it, do a drum roll, digga 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 digga, we save that, hit the bass drum, boom. So we got to like add those samples in as well. So it's this, I think that's just a really cool, like exciting experimental track we got to do where it's like a real blend of like our take on electronic music and like putting it in like a live band setting, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, we've never really done sampling like that. I remember they woke me up for my bass part. I came in, did the bass like the whole time and then went right back to sleep. But I just wanted to say that the record, how we tracked it was really cool. The dim spot is like not the biggest spot. So we had Maddie on the drums in the drum room and we had like, I think what, bass or guitar in the kitchen. And then I think guitar was in the
control room,
in the other room.
Oh, okay.
In the side room. And then me and you were in the control room with everyone plugged in, going through the amps. So Maddie was getting live. And then technically we could have like kept any of the scratch guitars or guitars that we did with Maddie, but yeah, we tracked the record like live with like, what was there, like some songs we did metronome, some songs we didn't.
I think we metronomed pretty steady
the whole record,
more or less. Maddie, yeah, would know better.
Maddie,
we use metronomes, but there's like a lot of tempo changes and shit too. Yeah. So
yeah but it was great because it was like we kind of just like took it through like as the band, like we were all doing it all together. And then basically we were like had the drums and then we built the record around the drums, which was like really cool because it like we've done like live in the room, like Pete Andrews doing the first version of Split
was live.
Yeah. ABT Universe was live.
This was a good blend where it's like really raw, but it's really it's like raw and dirty and clean at the same time. So it's a nice blend.
Brings it back full circle to self-titled because it makes sense. Like this is like how we would want to do a professional record.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And now we could do like any version of the thing that we've done in the studio, like doing more sampled stuff. Like we could do a whole record like that if we wanted to now. And, like,
yeah, you could scale it up anyway, which is cool. Mm-hmm.
We just happen to do it this way because I feel like it's always like, it's like a rite of passage for us. Oh, the songs made sense. We were like, wow.
Love it. So for this last question, we know the album, it comes out on Friday, but gotta ask, what's in the pipeline for AP2?
Well, we have some shows with The Orphan, The Poet, December 9th in Manalapan, New Jersey at Musicians Workshop, December 10th in Amityville Music Hall in Long Island, and then what is it, like the 12th or the 13th?
It's the 12th.
That Tuesday, I think, right?
Yeah, we're playing New York City at Market Hotel.
Get your tickets now.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
There'll be more shows, more music. Hopefully we'll do some other versions of some songs. I don't know. We want to just keep making maybe some covers. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we've been working on some music videos and stuff. And really, really excited to have this all come at like a natural pace. And now we like drip the singles out. We did some really cool stuff, made some really cool shirts, like, you know, like we can print really cool stuff. And it's really cool to have the record come out and now we could just do like one thing at a time and not really like just we were just talking about doing stuff around each song. Like we can print like a 7-inch vinyl and just like do like a single or something, or do some like limited artwork and some like shirts and stuff.
Yeah, I think we're gonna, as opposed to previous like records that we've dropped, I think this one we're treating a little differently. It's on our own company called The Resistance. We're going to be making a lot of stuff around it. We're distributing our own music, and we're kind of treating the release, like the cycle, as like more of a series of like drops, let's say. So like it's not all around the initial album drop and a couple music videos. We're going to have stuff coming out for each song, merch items, maybe like limited vinyl runs, limited experiences, stuff like that throughout the next year as we promote the record. So definitely stay tuned.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you guys would like to plug?
I just want to say thank you guys, and to plug Dim Entertainment, plug Shane, and plug Matinee Moly, and Rob and Mike, and everyone that helped work on the record. Dan Esfin, Nick Gorietti, Super Bean Wizard, Mastering.
Nada Recording. Plug Good Noise Podcast for being the best podcast on the planet.
Oh, you know. Alex, stop it. Well, thank you for silence, guys. It's been America Part 2, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.